How many of you have had training in first aid before? Anybody in the church have training in that area? All right, you can put your hands down. Part of my training in college was to take a first aid class, and certainly we've had first aid classes here. In fact, I hope next year we're able to do another CPR class where you can get your training updated on that. I think it's important. I think that if you have the chance to save a life in that way, that's a pretty special opportunity to have in life. But first aid is important. When somebody has a cut or has a fall or breaks a bone or has some sort of other injury, maybe they're caught in a car accident, it's important that they get the attention they need as soon as possible. If not, pain could get worse. Infection could set in. In some cases, shock could overtake them. And even death could occur if first aid is not given. And tonight, I want to deal with first aid for a very specific need that some live with. Probably, in a congregation this side, a good number live with what I'm dealing with tonight. And I want to administer some first aid from the Word of God. You and I are created for connection. We are made in the image of God, and God is a relational God. We know that about God. He's a God of relationships. He loves relationships. And it's a defining characteristic of God. There's a study done in 2018 that surveyed 20,000 adults 18 and older. The results of this survey stated that many adults feel lonely, disconnected, left out, devoid of meaningful relationships. And understand that this study was done before COVID in 2020, where everybody was isolated and kept in their homes and not allowed to go to work. And you can imagine the number of what the survey would have revealed in the middle of COVID. How many more people would have felt this feeling of loneliness? Loneliness is a plague in our society. We have everything money can buy. We have every possible mode of communication, yet many are lonely. Henry Nouwen described loneliness as one of the most universal sources of suffering. Loneliness. Despite all of the resources available for us to connect with others, far too many people feel disconnected and lonely. Much of that is due to the fact that people seem too busy to connect with others in any meaningful ways. I want to remind you, when you're with your families this holiday season, to take time to connect. Take time to talk. Put the phones away when you get together. And look each other in the eye and sit in a living room or at a table and enjoy each other's company. That sounds old-fashioned, but it's really needful. It's needful. Preacher, why in the world are you preaching about loneliness the week before Christmas? Because many face this great emotion during this season. For some, Christmas means festive gatherings, and maybe for you it's that way. Family time. But for others, loss and loneliness and brokenness seems to grip the heart even tighter at Christmas. I think it's interesting that Mary and Joseph had to leave Nazareth to go to Bethlehem to have the Christ child. No family around, no security of housing, no other relationships to lean on, no fellowship to enjoy. Lots of hoops to jump through, lots of changes in the road, and away from family as they would know it. Loneliness is a common struggle. Loneliness is the feeling we get when our need for rewarding social contact and relationships is not met. It's the state of being alone and feeling sad about it. Loneliness, one person wrote, is a separation anxiety where you feel disconnected and abandoned or ostracized and out of touch. A loss of intimacy or belonging, a lonely person can feel empty, alone, and unwanted. It's the soul feeling isolated from meaningful human relationships. By the way, this isn't just somebody that is alone, or certainly loneliness can set in on somebody that is alone, but you know you can feel lonely when you're surrounded by people. When you have many friends and acquaintances, you can still experience loneliness. And I know, because I'm with our people, at times this is felt even in a what I would consider a friendly church, a busy church, a church that has life. There are those among us that experience seasons of loneliness. That doesn't make them bad. That doesn't make them wicked. It's a real life experience. Social loneliness, maybe you're stuck in your home and you can't see friends or family. Certainly some of our people have gone through that with sickness. Brother Wayne has been out of the fellowship for a number of weeks and desires, has the longing to be with the church and friends in the church, but can't get here because of his body healing from what he's been through. Larry and Kathy have faced that, and Joe has faced that. And boy, we can go through the congregation and people that not only face the sickness, but the loneliness that accompanies the sickness is very real. Many of you can testify of that, maybe in rebounding from COVID. There's an emotional loneliness where you could have family and friends, but emotionally be disconnected from them, or the feeling of the inability to relate to people around you. You know, some really deal with that feeling. They're with people, but how to interact and relate to people is challenging to them. There's an intellectual loneliness, the inability to discuss things that feel important and interesting to you with other people. Like, I can't really discuss what I want to discuss with others. There's a spiritual loneliness, an overall feeling of detachment from everyone and belonging nowhere, feeling that your life is incomplete and lacks meaning, a vague sense of longing, but you cannot say what or who you long for. By the way, the only person to fulfill the spiritual loneliness is Christ. He's the only one that can satisfy the soul. But all loneliness is a bad feeling. It's an unhappy feeling. Many people are not only troubled by it, but are overcome by it. They don't know where to turn. Sometimes the things they turn to actually are hurtful. People in the scriptures face loneliness. People like Moses, do you remember the 40 years on the backside of Midian in the desert? No family, no people of God. That was a lonely experience for Moses. How about Job? Job lost all his family. Some of you lost family members this year, and Christmas is a little bit more sensitive. It's got a little bit more mixed feeling to it than it did a year ago. And you lost a family member. And I'm not minimizing that tonight. Job lost all family members. Imagine the loneliness associated with Job's life. How about Elijah, who ran and hid and was under the juniper tree? How about Jeremiah, no one would listen to? How about Ruth, moving to a foreign land? Others had to confront loneliness. Even Jesus in his earthly ministry often found himself rejected and alone. Can I say this tonight, though? It's not the will of God for you to live in that emotion. Can I say that again? It's not the will of God for you to live and be overcome by that emotion. In our text, Psalm chapter 25, the word desolate is used in Scripture here. It's describing somebody that is lonely. The psalmist is saying, I am lonely, I am desolate, here in this passage of Scripture, pointing to the devastating experience of loneliness. The word here actually means, the word desolate actually means to grow numb. Have you ever been numb in your life before? You just felt numb. That's what the psalmist is saying. I'm lonely and I'm almost numb. It's combined here with verse number 16. It's combined with the word afflicted. Do you see it in the second part of verse 16? For I am desolate and afflicted. Afflicted meaning depressed. Or loneliness, if we don't get first aid to the need, can develop into depression. Those two are closely associated. In fact, the psalmist confessed here, I'm both. I'm lonely, I'm numb, and I'm depressed. That doesn't sound too thrilling, does it? You ever thought of those that face loneliness? I did, in preparation for the message, take some time to think on this matter. I thought about the widow and the widower and the orphan. Certainly, they feel lonely. I thought about the foster kids in our county that get passed around from home to home to home to home to home. You talk about a lonely feeling. Very lonely feeling. Widows and widowers, lonely feelings. Quiet evenings. Nobody around. I thought about one bereaving a loss and how they deal with this great feeling of emptiness. This loved one that their hearts were knit to is no longer here. And the feeling and the emotion of loneliness sets in. I thought about the separated and the divorced that deal with loneliness. Probably think back to what they had that they don't have. Yet there are those in a marriage who may have very little connection with their mate who deal with the same feeling, and that's very possible. It certainly happens within marriages. I think about the empty nester that can experience this feeling of loneliness, and the first-year college student that can sense this feeling of loneliness as they leave home and go into a new environment, new people, new roommates, new teachers, new experiences, new everything. Boy, the securities of what they knew are no longer there every day. I thought about the shut-ins that deal with loneliness, the sick who can't get out for weeks or months. I thought about the mother who lost a child that experiences the feeling of emptiness and loneliness and numbness. I thought about the mother with a new babe facing postpartum that feels isolated and tortured and no one to share it with and lonely. I thought about the single young adult who certainly battles the feeling of loneliness, as well as the mate with a loved one in a care facility that experiences the same feeling that I'm talking about. I'm talking about the parent who has a broken relationship with his or her children and experiences the feeling of loneliness, and the Christian with the heavy burden that he or she can't share with anyone and feels the weight of loneliness and bearing the burden alone. I thought about the person that dies or is dying and the lonely feeling as they lay on their bed and don't know when that minute is going to strike. I thought about the person in the hospital that deals with loneliness. Think about the person in the hospital. There's really nothing going on in the hospital except when a nurse comes in to check your blood pressure, or they bring a meal, or you can turn your TV on, but there's no meaningful communication that takes place with anybody, possibly day after day after day, maybe even weeks. The cancer patient that faces hours and days of loneliness. The person moving away from their family to serve God experiences the feeling of loneliness in a new place. And the missionary, especially at the time of Christmas, when they would be with family, experiences the feeling of loneliness. My word, there's a lot of people that experience this feeling. There's a lot of people that experience what I'm talking about tonight. I want to look at some people in the Bible who were lonely before we get to the part of the message that extends some first aid to you tonight. People who are lonely in the Bible, we start with Jesus. Wasn't he constantly with multitudes, preacher? Yes, but he came into his own and his own received him not. You see, his loneliness was the experience of rejection. Rejection by his own. Anytime somebody has faced rejection in their life, mark it down, they're going to deal with loneliness. They're going to face loneliness. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, in John chapter 1, verse number 11. But he also faced loneliness in relationship to God the Father. On the cross, where he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Suffering can be lonely. Dying can be lonely. The Last Supper, I believe, to some extent, was a lonely meal. He was dining with friends that he had spent the last 3 years with, pouring into, yet he knew that one would deny him and others would leave the scene and not be at the cross, and one would actively betray him. This is right before the cross. The loneliness of Christ. I think of the loneliness of David here in Psalm chapter 25, the trap of a troubled heart. Certainly Jesus faced loneliness out of rejection, but David faced loneliness because his heart was troubled. Verse 17 of Psalm 25, our text, the troubles of my heart are enlarged. Oh, bring thou me out of my distresses. The troubles were so great in David's life that he was lonely. I'm trapped in this. I don't know how to get out of this. I can't share this with anybody. Nobody can solve this. Lord, please help me in this situation. I'm desolate. I'm afflicted. Another passage of scripture, he said, I looked on my right hand and beheld there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. You know what David was saying? I'm lonely. I'm lonely. Even all the wealth and power of a king cannot substitute for real connection and belonging. We certainly have the loneliness of David, the loneliness of Jesus, but we also have the loneliness of Hagar and Ishmael in Genesis chapter 21. You say, preacher, what's the reason for that? Strained relationships. If you study Genesis chapter 21, Hagar was the servant of Sarah, who bore a son for Abraham, Ishmael, and Sarah's jealousy toward her caused Hagar and her son to be cast out into the desert. She even sat down to die because she and her son were totally alone and without help. Can you imagine the loneliness that she experienced in the wilderness? And we have the loneliness of Miriam in Numbers chapter 12. Remember, Miriam was the sister of Moses. In her jealousy, she questioned Moses' leadership. Her punishment was to be struck with what? Leprosy, and be what? Shut outside the camp. You know, the chastening hand of God can be a lonely experience in our lives. Very lonely experience when God chastens us. For Miriam, that was true. Boy, she was in the camp. All of a sudden, she was outside of the camp. All of a sudden, everybody else was connecting with each other. All of a sudden, boy, everybody else was enjoying life as they knew it. They were celebrating their friendships and their family relationships, but not Miriam. Miriam's outside of all that. Loneliness. I think about the loneliness of Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 17. Elijah was called to prophesy against Ahab. Was that the will of God? Yes, it was the will of God. That he would prophesy against Ahab and proclaim a drought sent by God. Of course, immediately afterward, Elijah had to flee for his life, and he's lonely. For what, preacher? For taking a stand. And it was the will of God. Sometimes people face loneliness over standing. Maybe you face that loneliness in your life. Certainly Elijah faced the feeling of loneliness. I think of Jeremiah, the loneliness of Jeremiah, a prophet called by God. His calling was a lonely calling. Known as the weeping prophet, Jeremiah was forbidden to marry and thus had no wife and no children, called to speak words of repentance that nobody would listen to. This is the life of Jeremiah. When you're rejected by those who you want to serve and to love, that pain is very real. And Jeremiah faced that pain. I think about the loneliness of the bleeding woman in Mark chapter 5. A certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. Can you imagine having an issue of blood for 12 years? This unnamed woman in the Gospel of Mark was sick and had been suffering for a long time, and she was ceremoniously unclean. put my face mask on when you come around. That's where she lived. She could not go to the temple with other women. She could not sit where other people sat, even at home, or they would become unclean. If she went out into public, others had to know she was unclean. The woman was desperate to be healed. Probably not just of her issue of blood, probably just to be welcomed back into society. Like, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, which she did. There are other sources of loneliness in 2 Timothy chapter 4. It's a great study on this subject if you want to follow up and do some reading and some study. It's Paul from prison at the end of his life writing to young Timothy. Paul, lonely, trapped by his circumstances. Really can't get out of prison. Really there probably till he dies. In fact, in another part of Timothy, he writes, "For the time of my departure is at hand." My life's going to probably end where I'm sitting in this cell, in this dungeon. The door of opportunities in Paul's life had been locked and bolted shut, and he didn't know how to get a key or find out how to use it to get out. This was pretty much the end of the line. Not only that, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, some had deserted him, like Demas, and Crescens had moved, and some became too enmeshed and busy with their own lives and ministries, Priscilla and Aquila, and some are too sick to make the effort anymore to visit Paul. Paul's sitting there in the prison, and all he can do is recollect on what he had with these people in the past. And we know his loneliness because in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 9, he says, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me." Somebody visit me. Somebody, can I have a meaningful conversation with somebody that knows the Lord Jesus? He said in verse 21, "Do thy diligence to come before winter." Maybe Paul knew that his struggles with loneliness tend to increase in the winter months. Some of you that live alone, would you be able to testify to that? That the winter is harder, the early evenings, dark, comes earlier. I'll tell you what, you talk to any of our shut-ins and widows, they'll tell you that's true. Paul says, "Do thy diligence to come before winter." There are people in the Bible, all throughout the Bible, that faced loneliness. Secondly, I want you to see the pitfalls of loneliness. You say, "Preacher, what danger am I in?" Well, if you don't get first aid, there's some pits that you can fall into in loneliness. Number one, the pit of insignificance. The pit of insignificance. Turn over your Bibles to Job 7, Job chapter number 7. You say, "Preacher, what's the pit of insignificance?" It's losing purpose for life. Lonely people, if they don't run to God's first aid for them, can get deep into this pit of losing purpose. Question, was Job an upright man? Answer, yes, he was. Was Job a godly man? Answer, yes, he eschewed evil. He was a godly man. Was Job a lonely man? Answer, yes, he was. How bad did it get, preacher? Look at verse 15 of Job 7. "So that my soul chooseth strangling and death rather than my life. I loathe it. I would not live alway. Let me alone, for my days are vanity." Basically, Job faced these periodic struggles throughout the book of Job, where if he just took time to think about how lonely he felt, he would look at his life and say, "Boy, I'd just rather die than live." That's what he's saying here. He's saying, "My days are vanity. Man, I used to work and I used to bring home money and resources to take care of a family and had meaning in life. But I look at my life now and I'm lonely and it's not worth living." You understand there's a pitfall tonight when you're experiencing the feeling of loneliness, and that is that you lose significance. Could I shout in your ears tonight, you're of value to God. You have purpose. You may be experiencing loneliness, but you have purpose in your life for God. The loneliness you are facing has the potential to disconfigure your mind to where you think and begin to think, what's the use for living? My friend, God doesn't want you to live in that thought process. He doesn't want you to develop that line of thinking. He doesn't want you to catch that depressed spirit in your life. But it is a pitfall that lonely people fall into. May I remind you of your purpose when you wake up in the morning tomorrow, you say, "Preacher, I am living in loneliness." May I remind you, your purpose is to fellowship with God. Paul wrote the book of Philippians, another prison epistle. What was it about, preacher? It was about that I may know him. Philippians chapter 3, Paul had to keep his mind centered on purpose. And the purpose was to fellowship with God. May I say you have purpose tonight. You're facing loneliness. You're experiencing this feeling of disconnection. You're experiencing of being out of touch. You're experiencing, boy, I have no meaningful relationships. My, what has life come to? May I remind you tonight that your purpose is to touch the lives of others by your good works. For the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." Every day, you have the opportunity to glorify God by your good works. Listen, if you're lonely tonight, I'm not beating you up. Please, please don't take it like that. I am warning you, there are some pitfalls. One of the pitfalls is insignificance. There's another one. It's called the pitfall of isolation. Isolation. Loneliness tends to breed me wanting to stay lonely. The psalmist said, "Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me, my heart within me is desolate." Loneliness brings about this weird feeling that I just want to hide. I just want to hide. I don't want to be around people. Numbness. That's the practical outworking of being overwhelmed. All of this leads us to being covered by darkness, no light in one's life. He says, "Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed." People who are lonely often crave human contact, but their state of mind makes it more difficult to make those connections. It's just easier to withdraw. Be careful. I'm trying to help us tonight. Be careful of the pit of isolation. Be careful of the pit of insignificance. Be careful, number three, of the pit of indifference. What's that look like, preacher? No one cares. I'm all alone. My church doesn't reach out to me. And I don't care anymore. Anybody lonely can get there. By the way, Paul had leanings there. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, "At my first answer, no man stood with me." The psalmist said, "No man cared for my soul." Elijah said, "Even I only remain a prophet of the Lord." See, when you're lonely, you tend to exaggerate your loneliness. You tend to feed it. And when we do that, we can become very careless. We can become, "I don't care anymore." And my friend, God doesn't want you to have that spirit either. That voice is not from the Lord. That voice is not from the Lord. There's another pitfall. The pitfall of indulgence. The pitfall of indulgence. Gary Collins writes, "Loneliness often comes because sin has alienated us from God and from one another. Instead of turning to God in repentance and seeking restitution with fellow human beings, thousands of lonely people seek to escape from their loneliness," listen, "through involvement with drugs, sex, encounter group experiences, work, sports, or a host of other activities that fail to remove the inner restlessness." You have to be very careful, because when you're lonely, you're vulnerable. You're looking for something to fill that emotional, need, that emotional emptiness that you're looking at. And so you go to find it. But you go to find it in the wrong place. It's a very dangerous place to be. You need to understand there are pits, there are pitfalls to loneliness. We have dealt with the people in the Bible that were lonely. We've dealt with the pitfalls of loneliness. But thirdly, let me deal with the prescription of loneliness. Turn back to Psalm chapter 25, verse number 15. Preacher, I may not be here tonight. I may not be experiencing loneliness this moment. But I do experience this from time to time. Is there any help for me? Is there any spiritual first aid that would help when I get in this pit, something that would help me to get out of it? Yes, there is. And we find some of those helps in Psalm 25. Notice in verse number 15, he says, "Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net." Boy, I like that word picture. Boy, loneliness is a net. You ever get tangled up in a net before? It kind of reminds me of getting a fishing line tangled up. You know, fishing line tangled up is not a good experience, for me at least. Patient. Oh, just poked myself in the finger. You know, get tangled up in a net. Here the Bible says, the psalmist paints the picture, "He shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am." Those words are important because the psalmist realized his condition before the Lord. First aid, when you're lonely, begins with you realizing your condition before the Lord. "For this is who I am, Lord. This is where I'm at." Well, I don't want to tell the Lord that. Don't you think the Lord already knows that? The psalmist came to the Lord and he realized his condition before the Lord. He begged in verse 17, "O bring thou me out of my distresses." He begged in verse 18, "Look upon my affliction and my pain and forgive all my sins." In verse 16, he begged that he would turn unto him and have mercy or compassion on him. Listen, the cure for your loneliness doesn't come from having a bunch of Instagram or Facebook friends. The meaningful relationship that you need to turn to in the moment of loneliness, in the season of loneliness, in the weeks of loneliness, is you need to turn to God. That's who the psalmist turned to. That's a meaningful relationship that can help. Loneliness is not an entertainment issue. Loneliness is a heart issue. The psalmist said, "He shall call upon me," or God said, "He shall call upon me and I will answer him." Listen, if you're lonely tonight, come to God, realize your condition before God. Call out to God. Say, "God, look upon me. God, turn unto me. God, deliver me from this." That's what the psalmist did. He said in another passage of Scripture, "Unless the Lord had been my help," he says, "my soul had almost dwelt in silence. Unless I had gone to the Lord, I would have continued to dwell in this position of silence." I will say to you, if you don't use the spiritual medication given tonight, the first aid, this disease, if you want to call it that, gets worse fast. These emotions can lead to dark holes that you feel you can't get out of. They can lead to thought patterns that you develop that become strongholds in your thought life. Your loneliness might lead you to sit at home instead of coming to church. It gets worse. Your loneliness might cause you to consider doing things you'd never consider doing before. It gets worse. You understand first aid to be applied because there's a time frame. You got to get the people on site and get the first aid to them. You're dealing with loneliness tonight. You better get to this first step. You better get to it tonight. better realize, you better come and say, "For I am, Lord. For I am." What else? What else, preacher, would help me? What else is some first aid that would help me? Number two, refocus on the Lord in praise. Refocus on the Lord in praise. Turn to Psalm 142, verse number 4. Praise changes perspective. You've heard me say that before. Loneliness is a perspective. If I don't want to live there, then I have to purposefully change perspective. And the psalmist shows us this. Psalm 142, look at verse 4. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. My refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. That's perspective. No man that would know me. No man cared for my soul. What's he saying? I'm lonely. But look at verse 5. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said what? Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. That's different perspective. That's God focused again. See, that's what praise does in your soul, my friend. Praise resets your focus on God. And the psalmist in verse number 4 was man focused. No man, no man. But the psalmist in verse 5 became God focused. What was the trigger? It was praise. Thou art my refuge. Thou art my portion. Boy, you want to get out of a pit quick? Go to praise. Go to praise. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4, this passage of Scripture where Paul is lonely in the prison. We see a very similar step made by Paul. He refocused on the Lord in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look at verse number 14. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. Man focus. What's the next two words? The Lord. The Lord reward him according to his works. We're in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. Was Paul hurting? As he wrote that, he did me much evil. Yep, he was hurting. He had faced rejection from Alexander the coppersmith. Rejection brings hurt. Rejection brings loneliness. But what? I can leave that to the Lord. The Lord will take care of that. Look at verse 18. What's he still focused on in verse number 18? And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. By the time he gets to the end of 2 Timothy chapter 4, he's praising, he's glorifying the Lord. He said, to glory, glory be to God about all this. It's a good, good first aid step. It's a good treatment. Tonight, refocus on the Lord in praise. Number three, recommit to attending church faithfully. Recommit to attending church faithfully. Lonely people can make bad decisions when it comes to Sundays and Wednesdays. Why? Because that pit of isolation, that pit of indifference, that pit will keep somebody out of church. Listen, you want to get out of the pit? You get to church. You recommit yourself to church. It's interesting, Psalm 68, 6 says, God setteth the solitary, the lonely, in families. I think that's an interesting principle. And I think it's something that God does to help the lonely. I don't know about you. This is family to me. I need to be here. I need to be here every time the doors are open. I need to be here. You want to get out of the pit of loneliness. And by the way, loneliness is tied to what? Depression? You want to get out of that pit? You recommit yourself to get to church. Listen, I'm speaking from experience. When my daughter died, I did not want to come to church. I promise you. That week, I did not want to come to church. In fact, I told my wife, I'm not going to church this week. I didn't want to face anybody. I wanted to hide. I was overwhelmed. I was lonely. I was numb. I was everything that we're talking about tonight. And it didn't feel good getting in the car to go to church. But I'll tell you this, when I sat down among the brethren, Woo, did it minister to my soul to be with God's people. Now, my friend, if you're dealing with this, I'm trying to help you tonight. You commit, you recommit yourself. I'm going to get to church when the doors are open. What else, preacher? What's another first aid treatment tonight? Recall his promises and his presence. You realize if you've received the Lord Jesus as your Savior, he promised you would never be alone again. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 5, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The songwriter wrote, no, never alone, no, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. In 1874, a French steamer called the Ville du Havre was on a homeward voyage from America when a collision with a sailing vessel took place. The damage to the steamer was considerable, and as a result, it sank quickly with the loss of nearly all who were on board. One passenger, Mrs. Horatio Spafford, the wife of a lawyer in Chicago, had been en route to Europe with her four children. On being informed that the ship was sinking, she knelt with her children and prayed that they might be saved, or if not, that they might be willing to die, if that was God's will. When the ship went down, the children were all lost. Mrs. Spafford was rescued by a sailor who had been rowing over the spot where the ship had sunk and found her floating in the water. 10 days later, when she reached Cardiff, she sent her husband the message, saved alone. Lonely. It was a great blow. Sadness that was indescribable, not to just lose one child, but to lose all of your children. But though a great shock, it did not destroy the peace that either of the parents had from Jesus. And we get his peace because of his presence. For those of you who do not know who Horatio Spafford was, he wrote the song, It Is Well With My Soul. When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. What's some first aid that will help me in a state of loneliness, preacher? Recall his promises and his presence. Recall his promises and his presence. What else, preachers, help for me tonight? I'm almost done. Reappreciate others. Go back to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Remember, the setting here in 2 Timothy chapter 4 is Paul's in prison. He's talking about Luke in this passage. He's talking about some others in this passage, but he begins to reflect on people that he has known that have ministered with him. That's good thoughts. He says, only Luke is with me, verse 11. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Now, wait a second. This is John Mark. This is the guy that left Paul. Now Paul's in prison. Only Luke's around. And Paul's recollecting. He's remembering different people that he served with. And now he says, take John Mark and bring him with thee, Timothy, for he's profitable. Say, preacher, how'd I get out of the pit of loneliness? Reappreciate others. They'll help you go a long way in what? Changing perspective. Changing perspective. And lastly, reinvest your time in others. Reinvest your time in others. Near the end of Paul's roller coaster life, Paul was all alone in a Roman dungeon, awaiting certain execution that could come at any day. Probably found himself alone and certainly thoughts of being abandoned and forgotten and no man standing with him. But watch this. at that time, at that state of mind, inspired by the Holy Spirit, Paul wrote what was likely his last letter. What was it? It was encouragement and instruction to Timothy. In the lonely prison, there was somebody to minister to. What will pull you out of the pit, my friend, of loneliness, is if you will reinvest your life in somebody else. Reinvest your life. Dave Wilbur and Diana Wilbur are living examples of this. Years ago, you may not know the story. Many of you new people would not know the story. They lost two children in a tragic car accident that broke their hearts to pieces. Would have broken your heart to pieces. And you know what they did? They reinvested their lives in others. Didn't have their son, Aaron, their daughter, Natalie, to pour into anymore. But they didn't withdraw. They didn't feel like, what's the purpose of life? They didn't indulge and go into the wrong things. You know what they did? They reinvested their lives in others. And you can do the same. Tonight, there's some first aid for those that are experiencing loneliness. May I say this as I close? Well, tonight's message is to help lonely people. Maybe you know one and they can get a copy of the CD, or you can send a link to the sermon on sermon audio to be a help to somebody. It is also a message of recruitment. You see, an order for first aid to be administered, Brother Larry, there must be first responders. Somebody doesn't know first aid, how do they use first aid? If they don't prioritize and drop what they're doing to administer it, then it doesn't get administered in time. The Bible says in Matthew 22:39, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. It's the second commandment. Church, we're in need of more first responders to the lonely. And I'm talking about within the four walls of our church. There are people that are lonely. We have some first responders. I'm thankful for them. But we're in need of more. As I stated at the beginning of the message, loneliness is an epidemic. Volunteer responders drop everything in their lives when the call goes out. Could I encourage you as we approach a new year to look out for the lonely? One of the reasons why I took time to explain the kind of people that get lonely, both in the scriptures and people that we know in life situations, is for you to get an eyeball for them. For you to be alert to them in our fellowship and at your workplace. Live to be a friend to the lonely. Learn the heart. Listen to the heart of the lonely. I asked my son in preparation for the message, I said, son, do you think anybody at college is lonely? He said, oh my, I'm sure. College. Busy college. Everybody at the same age. Everybody at the same stage of life. Everybody going the same direction. But lonely people right in the midst. Love the lonely. Pray for the lonely. Show pity on the lonely. It's a word of compassion. It's a word for compassion and empathy and consideration and care and warmth. I think the caroling ministry and the card ministries are vital ministries as it relates to ministering to the lonely. But more individual calls, visits, hospitality can be shown to the lonely. Maybe in the message tonight, you're not lonely. You thank God you're not there. But maybe God would put somebody on your heart that is there, that you would be able to take some first aid to. It's encouragement. It may be that you've taken notes on the message tonight, or you at least remember some of the main points that you can share with somebody that is lonely. You know, they need sympathy. They need encouragement. They need a listening ear. But let me say this, they also need truth and direction. They also need somebody to speak truth in love to help them get out of the pit.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.